الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباد الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الله سبحانه وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى لقي الله يومئذ بعضهم لبعض عدو إلا المتقين وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى ويوم يعد الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا يا ويلتى ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا لقد أضلني عن الذكر بعد إذ جاءني وكان الشيطان للإنسان خذولا وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم المرء على دين خليله فلينظر من يخالف صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Respected Ulama-i Kiram and respected brothers and elders, at the outset I wish to express my heartfelt appreciation for the Mawlana Abdul Hamid Sahib to giving me da'wah to come here. And also I wish to congratulate each and every one of you that is here today. Alhamdulillah, sitting in an environment in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, among the Salihin, among the Ushaq, among the lovers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking nothing except the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Mubarak to you for sacrificing your time and your pleasures. Today is the day, Sunday, yesterday was Saturday, whole weekend, mashallah. You are sitting here only to gain the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the companionship of the mashayikh and the ahlullah. This is a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and a great dawlat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He only grants this to those people that he loves. I have recited a few verses of the Holy Quran before you. I have very limited time. I would like to draw your attention to a fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in various verses of the Holy Quran. One is the next sohbat that we have, the good companionship and association that we have with the pious people. Alhamdulillah, this becomes the means of our closeness and proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It increases our iman, increases our fervor and our zeal and enthusiasm for amal. But together with that, we have destructive forces around us. We have those elements that take us away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And sometimes if a person is not cautious and vigilant, then we find he even loses his iman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us and protect us all. In everything you find the constructive aspects, and then you find the destructive aspects. This building, this masjid, beautiful masjid, we are sitting here. The constructive aspect of this masjid is drawing a plan, getting all the bricks together, getting all cement together, and building this masjid. And the destructive elements, Allah Pak save us, if a fire is lit here, or flood comes, or the lightning strikes here, we know what happens. Similar is the position of a mu'min. When he develops his iman and comes close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he has to walk very cautiously in this dunya. He has to save himself from all those elements that are destructive. Sometimes it's just a slight spark, and sometimes it's a huge fire that comes around him, surrounds him, and with the result he loses his iman. In the verses that I have recited before you, the first verse is applicable, Ya أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. As I mentioned, we are all here for this very purpose. In the second verse that I recited before you, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَيَوْمَ يَعَدُّ الظَّالِمُ, a condition of a person. The background of this verse was, there was a person in Makkah Mukarramah by the name of Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id. He was a Meccan leader, but he was a kafir and he was from the mushrikeen. He was a prominent person, and it was customary with him that whenever he used to come back from an expedition, he used to invite the elite of Makkah Mukarramah to a feast and to a dinner and to a meal. Keeping with his custom, on this one occasion when he had come back from an expedition, he invited many people from Makkah Mukarramah, and together with that he invited Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he sat down to have the meals, he called him and made one condition: I will not partake of the meal unless and until you do not believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you do not accept and you do not believe that there is no one worthy of worship except Allah, and I am a Rasul and Prophet of Allah. Other words, till you do not bring him iman. This person reads the kalima and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam partakes of the food. Everybody eat and they disperse. Thereafter this person goes, and now here we should pay special attention as to what's going to happen now or what happens. This person, on the invitation of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, accepted the kalima and he comes into the fold of Islam. Then he goes back to his friends. He goes back to his friends, to his associates, to those people that he keeps company with, and he meets Ubay bin Khalaf, who is an arch enemy of Islam. And he hears about this incident, and upon inquiry, his friend Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayd explains to him, I was in a very tight situation, and I was, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not partake of the food and leave, it would be very embarrassing for me. That is why, in order to just appease Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I recited the kalima. This person now is at the crossroads because his friend told him, if you wish to remain my friend, then I have one condition. This is the peer pressure that many people suffer from outside. The entire life is spent in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then a person befriends somebody who is an arch enemy of Islam, who does not believe in Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sometimes he believes in Allah, but like Hazrat Mawla was mentioning, he is from those farzana, those people that believe partially and most of the things they deny. He is from amongst those people. And now a person has to show his allegiance and faithfulness to Rasul, to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his friend. And sometimes what he does, he makes a calculation here and he loses his iman. This is exactly what this person did. He says, I put before you one condition if you want to remain my friend. And what is that condition? Ma'azallah, such a terrible condition. You have to go up to Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and spit on his Mubarak face. Can we imagine what a condition he has put on? But this is the peer pressure. When a person loves a person, and hubbuka shay, when you love a person, yu'min wa yusim, you cannot think. You are blinded, you cannot think, you cannot listen. And he goes up and fulfills this condition in order to appease his friend. And what does it cost him? It costs him disaster and destruction in both the worlds. He maintains the friendship, but what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disgraces him and disgraces his friend Uqba ibn Abi Mu'ayd and his friend Ubay bin Khalaf. He disgraces him in Badr, and they are killed in Badr. And thereafter these verses of the Holy Quran are revealed as a lesson for all of us. وَيَوْمَ يَعَدُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَى يَدَيْهِ يَقُولَ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا. That day, remember that day when this oppressive person will begin to bite on his hands out of regret, out of remorse, and out of regret and remorse he will bite on his hands, and he will say, how I wish I had taken a part of piety, part of righteousness with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. Woe unto me, how I wish I could have not taken so and so as my friend. لَقَدْ أَضَلَّنِي عَنِ الذِّكْرِ بَعْدَ إِذْ جَاءَنِي وَكَانَ الشَّيْطَانُ لِلْإِنْسَانِ خَذُولًا. Verily he has led me astray after I have seen the right path. And shaitan is such that he deserts a person with the time of need. He deserts a person at the time of need. Here this person will express his regret on the day of judgment. Commentators of the Quran mention this is an isolated incident that has taken place. But the order here is general for all those people that have accomplices, that have acquaintances, that have friends, that have companions with which they carry out the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they, those people that tell them to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are partners with them in this world on the day of judgment, they will also be biting on their hands when they see the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and expressing regret and remorse. Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. Hi, woe unto me, how I wish I could not have taken such and such a person as my friend. And the commentators mentioned here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention his name. Allah ta'ala said fulanan, so that this order can be general for every person to come thereafter till the day of judgment who takes an evil friend, a bad friend. And many a times we see, alhamdulillah, people come towards the path of righteousness, towards the path of piety, but something happens in their lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, and we find all those years of effort, all that mehnat that the person had made is gone. Why? Because he began to associate with the wrong people. Associate with those people that were enemies of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today they have come in so many different ways and so many different forms. So many different ways and so many different forms. And under so many different pretexts, they come before us and they want to befriend you. We know what's happening today with the Shia menace. What, under what pretext they have come and what they are building around us. What huge structures are being built and under what pretexts they come to the mu'mineen and for them to accompany them. But we find that they are from those people that will lead the people out of the fold of Islam, who disbelieve in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those people that follow them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in another verse of the Holy Quran, أَلَخِلَّهُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ بَعْدُهُمْ لِبَعْدٍ عَدُوٍ إِلَّا الْمُتَّقِينَ. That remember this friendship that we have, the friendship that we have. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this verse of the Holy Quran that on the day of judgment, the friends will be enemies of each other.
All friends will be enemy of each other on the day of judgment. This friendship will cease, it will not remain, illa al-muttaqeen, except the friends of those people that were pious, those people that were upright, those people that had the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their friendship will be lasting. And inshallah, their friendship will be lasting, even in Jannah their friendship will carry on. Their friendship will carry on, even in paradise. Under this verse of the Holy Quran, Ibn Kathir rahmatullahi alayhi, Mufti Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions one riwayat of Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he mentions the example of two sets of friends. One is two Muslims that are friends, and one is two kafirs that are friends. Two Muslims are friends, one of them passes away in this dunya, and when he goes to the akhirat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala show us what he showed him, the manazir and the spectacles of paradise, and he gets the glad tidings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he sees this, he remembers his friend in the dunya. He remembers his friend in the dunya and says, oh Allah, I have a friend in the dunya. And then he mentions three qualities of that friend in the dunya. He says, I had a friend in the dunya who used to remind me about your obedience and the obedience of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second quality was, he used to command me to do good deeds and he used to stop me from vices and evil. And the third quality was, he used to remind me that one day I will have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here he defines a friend who is a mu'min friend. After he passes away and sees all the beautiful spectacles of paradise, he does not forget his friend, but he makes dua for that friend. I had that friend that had these qualities. Oh Allah, keep that friend of mine upon guidance. Keep him upon guidance, so that when he passes away also, he can witness all these beautiful sceneries of paradise, and he can also enjoy the divine pleasure that I am enjoying. Imagine the benefit of that friendship. He's making dua even in the akhirat when he sees paradise for his friend. What is told to him from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? That, rest assured, when you see what I have prepared for him, then you will laugh a lot and you will cry a little. Thereafter it's mentioned that that mu'min friend also loses his life and he goes into the akhirat, and then the souls are joined and he is told to them, praise each other, praise each other. Then they say, what a beautiful brother you were, what a good brother you were, what a good companion you were, and what a good friend you were. This is how they praise each other. This is the fruit of the friendship with the muttaqeen, with the pious people, and with the upright people. And what happens to those two friends that were kuffar? One of them dies, and he goes towards the akhirat, and he sees Allah Ta'ala save us, the spectacles of Jahannam. He also recalls his friend, and he also thinks of his friend. And what does he say? Oh Allah, I had a friend in the dunya, and the three qualities he mentions were completely opposite of the first friend. I had a friend in the dunya who used to tell me never to be obedient to you and to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He used to command me with vice, and he used to stop me from virtue. And he used to tell me, you will never pass away, you will never meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then what does he do? He makes bad dua for that person. Oh Allah, don't guide that person. Don't ever guide that person. Let it be so that when he dies also, then he also witnesses the spectacles of Jahannam, and he also can enjoy, he also can deserve your displeasure, like how I have been deserving your displeasure. It is mentioned that when he dies and he passes away, and both of them meet, then they begin to criticize each other and say, what an evil friend you, what an evil brother you were, what an evil companion you were, and what a bad friend you were. It is for us now to see what type of friends we have. Where do we find these qualities? Who are the people that call us toward the obedience of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Who are the people that command us to do good and forbid us from evil? Who are the people that constantly remind us that one day we'll have to leave the dunya? These are the mashayikh, these are ulama-i kiram, these are the people that go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the people that are pious and upright and righteous. They are the ones that call us towards the akhirat, call us toward the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are our real friends. Not those people, especially the younger generation, not those people that tell us, don't worry ma'azallah about Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We will see, one day you may die, we'll see what happens. Let's carry on. Let's go to this fair. Let's go to that party. Let's do merrymaking in this way. Let's follow the kuffar in this. And let's carry out everything that's impermissible in the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They in reality are not our friends. The mashayikh mentioned here that all those people, the mashayikh, the ulama-i kiram, the righteous mu'mineen that we befriend, they are our pious friends. Even the ordinary mu'min, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have love for him, that this will be a friend of ours, and that friendship will remain on the day of judgment, and even in paradise. Even in paradise, this friendship will remain. And as I mentioned, not only the mashayikh, even an ordinary Muslim, if you love him for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this will be love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the person who loves the next Muslim for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a great ni'mat, such a great bounty, so much appreciated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that رَجُلَانِ تَحَابَّا فِي اللَّهِ اجْتَمَعَ عَلَيْهِ وَتَفَرَّقَ عَلَيْهِ. They are given such a prestigious position on the Day of Judgment. يَقْبِتُهُ الْأَوَّلُونَ وَالْآخِرُونَ. They are given the share of the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our respected Shaykh is always mentioned, جَهَا سَايَا هُوْغَا وَهَا حِسَابْ نَي هُوْغَا اور جَهَا حِسَابْ هُوْغَا وَهَا سَايَا نَي هُوْغَا. Just for having love for a Muslim brother. إِنَ الْمُتَحَابِّينَ فِيهَا. Some of this, we find that proclamation is made. Where are those people that love each other only for my sake? Only for my sake. They have no other gharz, no other object, nothing to take and give. Only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you like a banda. That person enjoys a great position in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned many other companions also in the Quran that were together in the dunya. Like in Surah Safat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, when the people of Jannah are discussing, one will say, إِنَّوْ كَانَ لِي قَرِيمٍ. I had also a friend, I had a companion, and the ayats are too long to mention here now. And he used to tell me, Do you believe that one day we will die and we will come before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Then we will be compensated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will be remunerated and paid for our actions. Then where is that person? He will ask, where is that person? فَتَّلَعَ فَرَعَهُ فِي سَوَاءِ الْجَحِيمِ. Allah says us, he will see that companion of his who was denying the akhirat in the depths of Jahannam. And then he will tell him, address him and tell him, تَاللَّهِ إِن كِدْتُ لَتُرْدِينَ وَلَوْلَا نِعْمَةُ رَبِّي لَكُنْتُ مِنَ الْمُحْدَرِينَ. It was very near and close that you would have completely destroyed me. If it was not for the ni'mat and bounty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then I would be also with you here in the punishment, in the azab. Similarly in Surah Kaf, we find, we read every Friday the example, the discussion that takes place ensues between those two people. One is a kafir who has a lot of wealth, and one is a mu'min who does not have wealth, but he has the wealth of iman. He has the greatest wealth, the wealth of iman. And the discussion ensues, and that person looks at his wealth and begins to say, مَا أَظُنُّ أَن تَبِيدَ هَذِي أَبَدًا وَمَا أَظُنُّ السَّاعَةَ قَائِمًا وَلَيْ رُدِيتُ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لَأَجِدَنَّ خَيْرًا مِنْهَا مُنْقَلَبًا. And his companion, he tells him, I don't think this will ever perish. This wealth that I had will never perish. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. Sometime wealth goes to the head. Man becomes intoxicated. He forgets the reality of this dunya and the reality of the akhirat. All of us have to leave this dunya, whoever we are, and wherever we are, it will be akhiratihum yuqinoon, is one of our basic tenets of faith, that we believe in the akhirat. We have firm yaqeen and conviction in the akhirat. This person begins to deny, says, I will never go into the akhirat. And he makes the criteria of his success, what? This wealth of this world. If he is, because he is wealthy, this will never perish. If he has to go into the dunya in the akhirat, he will get even more in the akhirat. This person tells him, he advises him, and this person is arrogant, and this person advises him, tells him, أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكَ مِنْ تُرَامٍ ثُمَّ مِنْ نُطْفَةٍ ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا لَكِنَّهُ اللَّهُ رَبِّي وَلَا أُشْرِكُ بِرَبِّي أَحَدًا. He says, do you disbelieve in that being, in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that has created you from dust, then it has created you from nutfa and from a drop of sperm, ثُمَّ سَوَّاكَ رَجُلًا, then he has fashioned you into such a beautiful human being, a perfect human being. King, this is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in so many verses of the Holy Quran, the embryology and the different stages where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates us for us to reflect on the greatness and qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you deny him? You should, when you go into your garden, you should say, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. Whatever Allah wills, that will happen. But this person is arrogant, and thereafter a discussion ensues and carries on, and he tells him, if Allah wishes, he will give me much more wealth than yours, and he will destroy your wealth, and ultimately that happens. وَوْحِيْتَ بِثَمَرِهِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَاتِ. Then punishment comes, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroys his wealth. Here also we find companions discussing with each other, one is a believer, and one is a kafir. And then we find some occasions where there are two believers, when they are friends, then they benefit each other in this dunya, and that benefit will remain even in the akhirat. It's mentioned, Hazrat Shaykh Mawla Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah mentions in Hayat al-Sahaba about two Sahabis who are walking in the marketplace, and they begin to discuss with each other, let us make tawbah and istighfar. Marketplace, which is the worst place in the face of the earth, in the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, people forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there, but these two people are pious friends, and they encourage each other to make istighfar and tawbah, and they turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that place of ghaflat, that place where a person, when he remembers Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gets in some du'as more reward than remembering Allah ta'ala in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu lahul mulku wa lahul hamdu yuhyi wa yumit wa huwa hayyun la yamutu bi yadihi al-khayr, is a du'a for the bazaars. Person reads it in the bazaar, we should all make a firm intention, even when we're passing by our madrasa, even in the tech shops, the children read this dua. 1 million rewards, 1 million sins are forgiven, and 1 million status. Some riwayats, 1 million rewards, 1 million sins are forgiven, and Allah Ta'ala grants a person a house in paradise. In the place of ghaflat, why? Where everybody is negligent and unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rijalullah tulhihim tijaratu wa la bay'un an dhikrillah. So this person, they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of them passes away. And when he passes away, his companion sees him in a dream, and he tells him, when we are asked for istighfar in the bazaar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven our sins. This was the beauty and the benefit and the advantage of having good friends. Having good friends, irrespective of where we are, they will remind us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about our duties towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Fazail al-Aman, the Shaykh Zakariya rahmatullahi alayhi writes on the eve of Uhud. On the eve of Uhud, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and Abdullah ibn Najjah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu get together and sit down and say, let's make dua for each other. They go to one corner. You make dua, I will say Ameen. I make dua, you will say Ameen. This is closer to acceptance. And the first dua is made by the Sa'd ibn Waqqas radiyallahu anhu. He says, oh Allah, he makes dua in these words, oh Allah, tomorrow is the battle. And oh Allah, let the enemy that come to me, let him be very strong and fierce. And let him fight me with his main and might, and let me also fight him with full strength. And thereafter, oh Allah, make it such that I overpower him and I kill him, and his wealth and possessions become booty for me. And Abdullah ibn Jash radiallahu anhu says Ameen to the dua. Thereafter, Abdullah ibn Jash radiallahu anhu makes dua, and he says, oh Allah, tomorrow let a powerful enemy come when you come to the battlefield. And oh Allah, let him fight me, and let me fight him with my full strength, and let him make me shaheed. After he makes me shaheed, oh Allah, let him cut my nose, and let him cut my ears. And tomorrow when I come on the day of judgment, I can tell you, oh Allah, I have lost my ears. I have lost my ears and my nose in your part, in the part of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And oh Allah, you will say, yes, oh Abdullah, you have done so in my part. Look at the beauty of the dua, and look at the zeal they have for each other. Look at the piety and the benefit of the friendship they have, that they exhort each other towards good deeds and encourage each other towards good deeds. So this friendship that we have, one is the majanis, mashallah, to be frequent. Apart from that, when we have go around and we have people that we meet around, we should ensure there should be such people that are not those that take us away from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has warned us in this hadith, Al-mar'u ala deeni khalilihi, a person is upon the faith and upon the way of life of his friend. فَلْيَنْزُرْ مَنْ يُخَالِلْ, he should be very cautious, very particular and wary as to who he befriends. Sometimes in the pretext of business, sometimes we have a friend and we become so close and intimate with him that all those bad habits that he has, we find slowly and gradually begin to rub onto us. Sometimes it is a non-Muslim person, is my business partner. Sometimes it's a neighbor. Sometimes it's a person in the college. Sometimes it's a person that I travel with. We are not conscious. And we find gradually our deendari begins to dwindle and begins to decrease by the day. And so many instances we find, a person is very pious. After a while we do not see him in the masajid. We do not see him in the majalis. We do not see him in the zikrullah. What happened to him? He met a friend. He befriended somebody who was not a friend of Allah and his Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, لَا تُصَاحِبْ إِلَّا مُؤْمِنًا وَلَا يَأْكُلُ مَانَكَ إِلَّا تَقِيٌّ, that do not accompany except the mu'min. Except the mu'min, because the demands and dictates of kufr are far, is like the east and the west between a mu'min and a Muslim, between a mu'min and a kafir. There's no compatibility between a kafir and between a Muslim. That is why our forefathers and our elders were very, very conscious about this. If they see you and me walking with a non-Muslim, you say, bye. This is not a person that we should mingle with. This is not a person that we should have friendship with. But today, unfortunately, the winds of kufr and irtidad are blowing. They blame so strongly that we justify it. We're living in an open society. There's democracy here. We can meet with whomsoever we want. MaazAllah. We have to look after our deen. Lakum deenukum waliya deen. There's no democracy. There's no compromise in our deen. Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has showed us the limitations. And the Quran is filled with ayat. لا يتخذ المؤمنين الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا عدوي وعدوكم أولياء. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا اليهود والنصارى أولياء. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تتخذوا الذين اتخذوا دينكم هزوا ولعبا من الذين أوتوا الكتاب من قبلكم ومن الكفار أولياء. The ayats are filled in the Holy Quran to show to us that we cannot befriend these people. We cannot become their bosom friends and become them close to them. Who should we befriend? Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, anhuma, asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who should we befriend? What qualities we should look for? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, man dhakkarakum billahi ru'yatuhu. That person, that when you look at him, you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look at him, you think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَزَادَ فِي عِلْمِكُمْ مَنْتِقُهُ. When he speaks, your ilm increases. And وَزَكْتَرَكُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ عَمَلُهُ. And he reminds you about the akhirah and look at his amal. These are the people that you should be befriending. These are the people that should be your friends. These are the people that you should spend time with. And you should stay in their company. It's clearly defined by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even the Mubarak du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are there for our guidance. Allahumma inni as'aluka hubbaka wa hubba ma yuhibbuk wa hubba amalin yuballighani ala hubbik. O kama qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Allah, grant me your love and the love of those people that you love. Wa hubba ma yuhibbuk. Those people that love you, O Allah, grant me love for those people. Another dua Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, Allahumma arzuqni hubbaka wa hubba man yanfa'uni hubbahu indak. O Allah, grant me your love and grant me the love of that person whose love will be beneficial to me in your court. Whose love will be beneficial to me in your court. These are the people that we ought to be befriending. These are the people that we ought to look for. And I will quote one kisah here, mentioned by the Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi, Mawlana Masihullah rahmatullahi mentions to us that even those people, whatever pretext we come close to them, inshallah, will never be losers. Humul qawmu la yashqa bihim jaleesuhum. This hadith you know, and the incident you know, that this is such a nation, whoever comes to them, associates with them, the gathers with them, then he will never become rest, he will never become deprived, he will never be unfortunate. Here is mentioned that there was one person, a very saintly and a pious person, and in his vicinity there was a kafan chor. For the elderly people, they know what is a kafan chor. Alhamdulillah, we don't have it in our country. People that go and steal the kafan after a person is buried. This person, this alim and buzruk, knew him. He called him and said, "Bhai, I am very sick, I may pass away, but do me a favor, please don't steal my kafan. Don't come and steal my kafan." And he asked him, "What do you get for the kafan?" He says, "I get 10 rupees. This buzruk sahab, rahmatullahi, he told him, "I will give you 20 rupees. Before I pass away, I'll give you 20 rupees in advance so that you don't come and make an attack on me." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us and give us tawfiq. We know that old habits takes a long time. They die. It takes a long time for old habits to go. This person said, "Hazrat, I won't do that. Now since you have paid me in advance, it's no question of having to steal your kafan." However, when this buzruk passed away, this person went according to his old style and he went and he tried to steal the kafan. It was a miracle and it was a karamat of this wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the moment he put his hand in the qabr, this person, the wali held his hand. Out of shock, that person passed away there and there. He passed away there, right there in the qabr. One of the murids of sheikh, of the sheikh that passed away, he sees him in a dream, and the sheikh explains to him what has transpired, that he should take the body away from here and bury it. That murid asks him, "But sheikh, what will happen now to this person? What will happen now to this person?" Subhanallah. What does the sheikh say? "Jab uske haath mere haath mein aa gaya, to main Allah kiya uski sifarish karunga." When his hand is coming to my hand, I will intercede on behalf of him in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Irrespective of what the pretext is of a person coming to a wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, coming to a good gathering, inshallah it will never be empty of benefit in this world as well as the hereafter. The reality, as I mentioned, will only be realized when you go into the hereafter and we see that. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and guidance. Allah ta'ala has clearly told us who are our friends. إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَالَّذِينَ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ. Allah is your Rasul, Allah is your friend, Rasulullah is your friend, and those believing people that carry out the salat and give out the zakat and bow before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are your friends. وَمَا يَتَوَلَّ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ. Those people that befriend Allah, befriend Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and befriend the believing people, then these are the jamaat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will remain dominant at all times. So Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tell us that we know who are our friends, and we should identify our friends, and we should not mingle, go beyond. Islam is such a beautiful religion. Yes, we can deal with the kuffar, we can make trade with the kuffar, and we can even help them, we can give sadaqah to them, help them on humanitarian grounds. But when it comes to the bosom muhabbat, this khaleel, the muhabbat in the heart, from the bottom of the heart, that can only be for the mu'mineen and can only be for the believers. We'll end up with one friendship that you all know, one friendship that the world has seen and will never see again. That was the friendship of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That friendship was there before prophethood also. The friendship was there when prophethood came and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the prophet. Then the first person to accept the risalat was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And throughout his life, he lived in the shadow of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sacrificing his time, he's sacrificing his wealth. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one hadith that among the nas, the person that showed the greatest amount of favor to me with fi mali wa suhbatihi, with his wealth and with his companionship, was Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. لو كنا متخذا خليلا لاتخذت أبا بكر خليلا. If I was to take a bosom friend, I would have taken Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. ولكنه أخي وصاحبي وقد أخذ اتخذ الله صاحبكم خليلا. But he is my brother and he is my friend and in my companion. Some riwayas were over له أخوة الإسلام ومودته. For him is the brotherhood of Islam and the love of Islam. And Allah Ta'ala has taken your companion, meaning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a khaleel. One riwayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, Abu Bakr, anta sahibi fil ghar, wa sahibi ala al-hawz, you are my companion in the cave. This is where in the Holy Quran, from amongst all the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, only one is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You believe in all, but Allah Ta'ala mentions only one. Is qala li sahibi la tahzan. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told his companion, Allah Ta'ala also attests his companionship in the Holy Quran to remain right up to the day of judgment. If the entire world gets together and say, Ma'azallah, we don't believe in Abu Bakr and we are naraz with Abu Bakr, it makes no difference whatsoever. He was his companion throughout his life, and he was his companion when he passed away. He is still his companion, buried right next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One riwayat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes into the masjid holding Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu on both sides and saying, this is how we will be resurrected on the day of judgment. The riwayat is mentioned, the first person to come out of the grave will be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. The first person to enter paradise will be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then from this ummah will be Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. That was such a friendship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us here before Nubuwwat, throughout Nubuwwat, after passing away, inshallah, on the day of judgment, at the Holy Qasr, and inshallah, in paradise. This was a friendship, and this friendship was based on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the thing he likes most? O Rasulullah, to look at you, to sit before you, and O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to smell my wealth before you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the jazbah that together with adopting the sohbat of our pious elders, together with that we abstain from those destructive forces. And today, the last thing is this, that we have such friends today that are so destructive, so discreet, and so discreet they are, and so destructive, that we find in the deep recesses of our homes, in the darkest corner of our homes, we find those gadgets that are friends, the cell phones, the internet, etc. And this is destroying the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our young people especially, we find who do not know how to look after themselves. And they get so involved in this, that they go to such sight that we cannot even fathom, we cannot even dream. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make it such, if we have to use these things, use it as for our necessity, and ensure that our children are not destroyed by this on the pretext of necessity. We give these gadgets to them, and they are not checked, and we do not monitor it. And what happens? We find the people, they go away from the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, go on to such sites that they begin to doubt the essentials of deen. These are realities that have no time to elaborate. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us tawfiq. Look after our families, our progenies, and our wives and our children, and all of us, and so that we adopt good friendship for ourselves and for our children as well. And especially these gadgets here, we ensure that they are not destroying us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.